Hare Krishna. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 40. Chapter is entitled The Pandavas Retire Tidy. Please kindly repeat responsibly. Vishnu, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Maharaj Yudhishthira at once relinquished all his garments, belt and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. Purport. To become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. No one can become an associate of the Lord or can go back to Godhead without such purification. Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore, to become spiritually pure, at once gave up his royal opulence, relinquishing his royal dress and garments. The kshaya or saffron loincloth of a sannyasi indicated freedom from all attractive material garments, and thus he changed his dress accordingly. He became disinterested in his kingdom and family, and thus became free from all material contamination or material designation. People are generally attached to various kinds of designations. The designation of family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, and many others. As long as one is attached to such designations, he is considered materially impure. The so-called leaders of men in the modern age are attached by national consciousness, but they do not know that such false consciousness is also another designation of the materially conditioned soul. One has to relinquish such designations before one can become eligible to go back to Godhead. Foolish people adore such men who die in national consciousness. But here is an example of Maharaj Yudhishthira, a royal king who prepared himself to leave this world without such national consciousness. And yet he is remembered even today because he was a great pious king, almost on the same level with the personality of Godhead, Sri Rama. And because people of the world were dominated by such pious kings, they were happy in all respects, and it was quite possible for such great emperors to rule the world. Om Aginati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Milita Mena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Madhavishtam Stavitam Enu Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinamandu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Nishwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Hari Pancha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitana Pavyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Viradhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Maharaj Yudhishthira at once relinquished all his garments, belt and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. We continue to learn from Srimad Bhagavatam's example of the Pandavas here. And Maharaj Yudhishthira is being used as the main character of learning the lesson of detachment from material activities. So according to the Vedic system that is organized by Krishna, the Vedic system is meant to facilitate the living entity back to self-realization. Therefore there are some designations, varnas, ashrams, so which are ultimately favorable for transcendental realization. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, now he is at the last stage of his life. We see he is accepting the sannyasa order and with that entering into total bhajan or absorption in reuniting with Krishna. So Shastra is teaching us through the role model of Yudhishthira Maharaj how all of us should live in this material world and how we should honor this tradition that is very beneficial to humanity. On the contrary to that, we have unfortunate other perspectives that people in modernity are following or adopting due to poor fund of knowledge. People think that the purpose of life is to simply find merriment in this mortal world, and therefore even if there is some kind of designations, they are all related to finding merriment in this material world, how to be happy here and now without being concerned the way one is going for the future. In fact, a materialistic person, due to the effect of Maya, he forgets that he has to die. He forgets. He thinks, I'll live eternally. I shall live eternally in this body. I shall create an empire and I shall enjoy and rejoice happily ever after. Only when there is death of a friend or relative or something like that, they get shaken up a bit. There is a saying, it's called a graveyard renunciation. When a family member dies, when such a materialistic person goes to the graveyard, he starts to pray to God, "Oh God, what happened here? Something wrong in this world." Then he becomes temporarily renounced. I have to find out, who am I? What am I doing in this world? Why did my relative die? He starts to cry in anxiety. He's actually crying for his own self, not for his relative, because he's afraid this is going to happen to me. But after that, he goes out of the crematorium, gets back to work or office, business, and business as usual. Right, how am I going to enjoy today? Friday is coming. What is the plan for enjoyment? So he starts to scheme how to make money, how to spend money, etc. It's complete forgetfulness of the impending death that is actually staring him in the eyes with open jaws, waiting to catch him. So this is due to the power of illusion. due to poor final knowledge, due to lack of education, spiritual education, genuine shastra knowledge, people have become victimized by the material energy. Yesterday I was thinking something very interesting. It's like we have the free will, right? So Krishna has given us the free will. We have decided to leave him and come to this material world. But in this material world, he is given this now varnashram system, and the child from small has to be taught about Krishna. So I was thinking, isn't that an interference with the free will of the living entity? If the jiva is now taking birth as a human being and then immediately becomes captured in this system, someone can criticize like this. You guys are just forcing, you're speaking about free will, but your system is forcing the children to become devotee. Where is the free will? So actually it's a good question, but it is shallow, because the children are trained up in that way, but still when they grow up they can decide for themselves, do I want to follow this or not, right? So nobody is going to force you. You're just introduced, and the free will still remains intact. And they'll say, but most of them, they remain devotee. That means the free will is influenced. Well, we say that Krishna is clever. He wants to help the human beings to get out of suffering. So he wants to influence. This human form of life is the escape route. It's the boat for escaping from the clutches of samsara cycle, the illusory attachment to this material world. So Krishna favors one who takes birth as a human being, and he creates the system chaturvarnamayashastam guna karma vipadesaha, so he can facilitate the human being, give them an opportunity. And even during Vedic times, during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthira, you can see there were people who didn't follow the Vedic system. That means they chose not to follow. So nobody is forced. Some people became developed their own communities where they didn't follow the Vedic system, or they followed some aspects of it, like Duryodhana was following some aspects, but he didn't accept the aspect of Krishna. He performed yagyas. In fact, before the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana arranged that all the kings who were coming to fight on his side, they should. There was a very nice camp prepared just outside of the city, so all of them can go there. And there was some nice arrangements, beautiful, extremely beautiful places for the soldiers to come. In fact, some of Arjuna's friends became bewildered and joined that camp just before the battle, because they thought, you know, Arjuna is arranging something very nicely, let us go inside. So they joined the camp of Duryodhana. And it's explained he had brahmanas, they were chanting mantras and they were doing some yagyas and all that. Very bewildering. But at the same time, when he saw Krishna, he rejected him. So, and there were some more kind of even extreme cases that completely would reject any kind of sacrifices and so on and so forth. They would just perform karmic activities, but those individuals or those communities were in the minority at that time, because the influence of Kali Yuga had not kicked in as yet so strongly. So there were just few here and there people who would part away from the Vedic knowledge. So yes, the free will is there. And although the child is introduced to Krishna consciousness from small, still when he grows up he is given the choice
In our tradition it's also like that. We can see it today. The children are brought up in devotional environment, but when they become teenagers, they're given the choice. What you want to do, it's your choice now. You have to decide. And sometimes they may go away for a while, just to see what the other side is doing. But very quickly they can understand, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to associate with this type of people, because they're just suffering. They can see it because they already have the experience of Krishna consciousness. So therefore this system is important, and this system is actually natural, and it is not forced upon the living entity. It is introduced to the living entity, but is not forced. And especially when the age of puberty comes and the children become more independent, they can actually make that decision for themselves. So therefore Krishna cannot be criticized that, although he's saying you have a free will, but then he's forcing them into that system. We cannot allow Krishna to be criticized in that way. This is just Krishna's compassion. It's a safety net for the jiva to come out of this cycle of birth and death. So why do we have to go through this ashram stages? We understand, okay, the varnas are there, people have some qualities and so on and so forth, they can work in different ways. But the materialist will think, why do we have to go through all these ashrams, you know, brahmachari, gyastha, malaprastha, sannyas? Why don't you just have one ashram, you know? Like, just have the grihastha ashram for the entire life, you know. And when someone is small, yeah, just leave him play, you know, do what he wants. Why don't you just leave one ashram? But the devotees understand that we're diseased. And being in an ashram means that it's a hospital actually to cure the disease. And there is a specific medicine taken. There is one main medicine in all the ashrams, which is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But there are specific prescribed medicines for each and every ashram that needs to be followed in order for being in that ashram to be effective. So, the Vedic tradition is complete because it explains what's the goal. The goal of love of God. It explains what's the process of devotional service, and it gives the support system of this Varnashram Dharma. It gives the support system of devotees that can assist us. It gives the support system of Shastra, the role models that we can see. So, in other words, it's a full package that is given to us to make advancement towards the ultimate goal. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say that if someone asks you, how do you choose what to follow? He said, it's very simple, you check on three things. What is the goal of particular tradition? What is going to happen to you if you follow it? Number two, who achieved the goal in the past? And number three, who is achieving it now? He said, if these three things are satisfying to you, then you should join one institution. So that means that we have to investigate very deeply. Shastra is about deep investigation. It's not about blind acceptance of something. Sometimes people will ask us, why did you join this movement? You know, why? What's the cause? What's the reason? You know. Looking for happiness or what? You know, what social kind of comfort you find in there? Some people, friendship. Why do you? They just sentimentally. They can't understand that there is very deep philosophy behind it. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, the goal is to attain love of God. Krishna Prema. Who has achieved in the past with Gautier, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Arjun, Asis Goswamis of Vrindavan, different various acharyas, both men and women. And then who is achieving it now? You look around, you see there are very serious devotees amongst ourselves that are achieving it and achieving the goal of love of God. So in that way we know this system is functional, it is alive, it is dynamic, it's pulsating, it's existing. It's not something from the past. Like in some traditions, you can't join them anymore, because even if they know the goal, and if they had saints in the past, they don't have the saints now. You know, they don't have the current day saints. And that shows that the tradition is dysfunctional. Because somewhere along the line, the saints stopped to function, or they disappeared. So in our culture, we are very blessed. We have everything. By Srila Prabhupada's great compassion and mercy, we've got all the facilities to attain the goal of life, to get out of the box, to get out of the sleeping stage in this material world. So the real problem that Yudhishthira Maharaj is tackling here is the problem of attachment. This is our disease. We become attached, become conditioned to this material world, we become addicted to this material world. Therefore, Varna Ashram is a gradual unconditioning from the conditioning. It's a gradual releasing oneself from the grip of the external energy. So, by practicing step-by-step process of Varna Ashram Dharma under the guidance of a bona fide guru and sadhu and shastra, then one gradually moves to these different stages of greater and greater detachment. So, in a childhood stage, one's very attached to his parents. When one grows up, he becomes attached to his spouse, to his children. And attachment, that's like the culmination is in the grihastha ashram of attachment to this material world. And then when someone becomes purified by the process, the experiences one gets in the grihastha ashram under the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, one becomes more and more detached. He enters into vanaprastha, and then the detachment is greater and the attachment to Krishna becomes greater. And then gradually the idea before was to take sannyas. In this age, sannyas is almost forbidden, because hardly anyone can follow. It's very difficult to follow sannyas in this age, but still few special souls will take sannyas. Prabhupada asked some of his disciples to take for the sake of spreading the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu also took sannyas with that aim. He didn't have to take sannyas, but he saw people will not take him seriously. And there were other sannyasis who were misleading the people with impersonal philosophies and so on and so forth. So Mahaprabhu knew sannyasis are the leaders of society. They are the head of the society. So if the leaders are misguided, everyone will be misguided. And they won't listen to me, a grihastha. Therefore, I have to take sannyas. But sannyas is not recommended generally in this age. And even nowadays, grihasthas can be very good preachers in this Deshakala Patra. So one doesn't have to take sannyas to preach. But of course, vanaprastha is recommended in when someone's household grihastha duties are finished. So this is how we deal with this issue of attachment to this world. We become less and less involved with the material energy and more involved with devotional service. Because the idea is to actually understand Krishna properly, to develop love for Krishna, to become attached to Krishna. This is the aim. And Krishna means the source of everything. Krishna means the complete whole. And we are part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, it is a natural attachment, original attachment to the supreme source of everything. So we are part of the whole. What is the function of the part in relation to the whole? Is to serve the whole. So currently, under the name of family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, nationality, national consciousness, we serve certain halls, but these are halls within the halls. So the propensity, the tendency, the function of the soul to serve is there, but it's now shrunken due to illusion. And the basis of it is independent desire to be happy, independent search for satisfaction, which is grounded or founded. This independent desire for satisfaction is grounded on the principle of envy from Krishna. We wanted to create our own hall where we will be the center, and then everything will circumambulate around us. Everything will rotate around us. We want it to become like the sun, and all the planets will circumambulate us. So this is actually called matsarya, envy. And based on matsarya, one develops attachment, because the Greeks call this the sacred wound. Sorry, no, this is the Sufi tradition. They call this the sacred wound. We have parted away from Krishna, and now there is this gap, there is that wound, that pain in the heart. So, in order for us to feel that pain, we simply calculate materially through the senses, through the mind, how to fill that gap in the heart. So we acquire so many things, thinking that this item or this person will make the heart satisfied. So in that way we surround ourselves with so many objects and so many persons, simply with the aim of gratifying our senses or filling the gap in the heart, the hole in the heart, the abyss in the heart, with all these external things. So that produces attachment, and that attachment actually does not lead to happiness. A lot of people think that if you are attached, you become happy. But attachment leads to fear, and it leads to the experience of misery and dread that you may lose what you have. And ultimately it leads to unhappiness. So therefore the Vedic tradition, Vaishnava tradition, is designed to curb that attachment to unnecessary things, to educate us that this attachment is not going to make you happy, and is not going to bring you the expected happiness. It's just an illusion you're trying to facilitate. So Yudhishthira was extremely opulent. He was coronated as the emperor of the world at the Rajasuya sacrifice. You can imagine what kind of opulence he had, and he had to renounce it. And he was able, because of that training, to be detached at the right time. And one who is not trained, he may not have so much opulence, he may have like little bit of money, he can be attached to this few dollars, you know. Someone can be attached to just a small amount of money in the bank, someone can be so attached to it. So, it's not about that if you have a lot, you will be attached. Even if you have little, you can be attached. If you are not trained properly. You see, if you are not genuinely understanding what's the purpose of life. Spiritual life is a personal discovery. It's collective, but as well primarily personal, because we are just supported by the collective to discover Krishna within our heart. So it is a personal discovery, and you have to take responsibility for your own discovery of Krishna. Krishna is easy to see, but he is hidden. He is Gupta. And because he is Gupta, you have to make the endeavor to see. Krishna is not obvious. He is hidden himself on purpose, because the purpose is we didn't want to see him. That's why he is Gupta. He is hidden because we don't want to see. So sometimes we come to ISKCON, we have ulterior motive. We want to chant, we want to do all the rules and regulations, but our aim is again trying to cheat Krishna. We want to find pleasure for ourselves and happiness in a subtle way, but we're not really interested after the goal. So this is another way how Maya cheats and makes us self-deceived, and we get caught. We look like we are progressing, but we are caught in a net. We are stagnated, and it's just a matter of time before we may fall back. If there is some crisis, our mind cannot reconcile how this crisis occurs. If Krishna is there and if I'm devotee and I'm chanting, and then immediately we lose faith and we fall back into the embrace of the material energy. Or even if we don't fall back, we just kind of hang around without really having the focus. So another word that is very important in the progress, that's one of the fuels of advancing towards the goal, is utkanta. Utkanta means intense eagerness to attain the goal. So if you are lacking utkanta, you will not be able to attain the goal. So how do we get enthusiasm then? To become detached like Yudhishthira and to become attached to Krishna. We gain the enthusiasm by associating with devotees who have that utkanta. Enthusiasm is contagious. Bhakti is contagious, just like Maya is contagious. If someone is in Maya, he can spread Maya, the virus, everywhere in the community, if that virus is not curbed by the association of devotees. So we have to be eager for eagerness. We have to look who is actually eager, so that we can associate, we can make advancements. There is one example of how Yashoda Devi, she is so eager to see Krishna. When Krishna comes back from the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan every night, first, before he enters the village of Radha, he goes to the river, he goes to Jamuna with the cowherd boys and with the cows, and he gets them to drink water, you know, so, and they bathe and drink water, and then the demigods come at that time, they offer obeisances, they worship Krishna at that particular moment. And then, you know, while this is happening, Krishna becomes delayed. So Mother Yashoda becomes into anxiety. Where is Krishna? So she sends the tallest gopi on top of one tower to watch if Krishna is seen anywhere near. Mother Yashoda is so much in anxiety to see Krishna. So we can learn from this example of utkanta, intense enthusiasm. So therefore this can be found in Shastra, but also can be found amongst the devotees. So we have to observe who is the modern day saints who have this enthusiasm, so we can associate with them, we can get that utkanta, we can get the fuel to empower our devotional rocket to reach Krishna. So this is extremely essential and very important. So Krishna looks at the heart, and the consciousness must be proper, that we desire you, Krishna. We don't want anything else. The purpose that why I'm practicing this Krishna consciousness is to attain your lotus feet. I don't want anything else. So we have to come to this level of consciousness. Recently in New Zealand, Devabrita Maharaj, one devotee asked him, "Maharaj, I have material desires. What do I do?" So Maharaj told him, "If you have material desires, you pray to Krishna not to fulfill them." And pray to Krishna to fulfill your spiritual desires. And in that way you can actually surpass. Devi hi esha gunama ima mamaya durateya mame vami prapadante maya vetam taratite. If you are surrendering to Krishna, then it's very easy to pass from these attachment levels, material desires and so on and so forth. So what's the essence is to surrender to Krishna. Devi hi esha gunama. How do you surrender? You pray, "My dear Lord, here I am, I'm the most fallen person. My heart is full of mountains of material desires. And I don't know, I'm totally overwhelmed. I don't know how I'm going to overcome these desires. So, please kindly do not fulfill them. Whatever desires they may be there, please kindly do not fulfill them." I thought this very intelligent advice. Because really, if you know Krishna, you will know that Krishna will fulfill your desire. Whatever your desire is, He will facilitate that happen. Although He doesn't want sometimes to facilitate desires that are going to cause us pain and suffering, but He facilitates, because the pain is part of the system of discouraging us from being envious of Him. Because being envious of Him immediately is producing pain. Because that very consciousness of being envious is in itself a painful mentality. Even if you don't do anything to another person who you're envious from, you still feel sad and miserable. Envy produces sadness. Do you understand that? Envy produces sadness and misery, unhappiness, dissatisfaction. So even if you have a whole palace full of wealth and many servants serving you and everything, if you become envious, if you are envious of someone, another person, for some reason, you'll not ever be able to not be envious, because the original envy towards Krishna is... The original envy towards Krishna will be directed in some way towards other people in our environment. Even sometimes you may be envious of someone who is not at your level of status, financial, intellectual status, beauty status, whatever. You can still be envious of them. Because that envy is there, for no reason you'll just feel, "Who is this guy?" So that brings misery. So Krishna knows, until you are envious, you'll never be able to be happy. And you are meant to be happy. Therefore, pain is meant for your... It's like an alarm clock that something is wrong with you. In the morning when you sleep, the alarm clock is saying something is wrong with you. You have to be at the Mangal Arati. You see? So pain is like an alarm clock. It's Krishna's compassionate arrangement for us to wake up. And again, that arrangement is there because we wanted it, not because He wants it. Sometimes people say this Krishna is evil, arranged pain. But not, you are evil because you wanted to separate yourself from Him. You see. So they say, "But why did He make me evil? He never made you evil. You are eternal. Nityo nityananam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yodhidhati kamaya. You are eternal. How can He make you evil? But why didn't He, you know, just make me to be perfect? Like Him." So that is already envy. Why can't I be God? You know, why can't I be like Him? That is envy. So we are Tatastha Shakti, we are the Jiva that is meant to love Krishna. And we have the choice, and then if we misuse that choice, then we fall down. So it is our preference. Krishna doesn't force us. We are chuta, we are small, we have that tendency. And that is part of being Tathasta Shakti. So if you say, why am I not Vishnu Tattva? Why did I become Tathasta Shakti? That is envy. You accept your position. And then serve Krishna, that's all. Why do you have to be so envious? So, because of that envy, we can never be happy. And because of the envy of Krishna, we become attached, we become addicted, and we become miserable. And therefore, the pain is the alarm clock to wake us up. So, how do we break away from addiction? This is the last thing I'm going to say. Addictions are very, very difficult to overcome. Like, you can see, this morning I was speaking to Devamrita Prabhu and he was telling me that smoking addiction is the most difficult. Some people can overcome any kind of addiction, heroin addiction, this addiction, that, alcohol, but smoking, he said the smoking addiction is very, very difficult to overcome. The most difficult. So different addictions are there and it is very difficult. You can't just give it up, you know, you're addicted. You know what is an addiction? You know, you can't not do what you're used to do, you know. So some of us are addicted to TV, some of us may be addicted to the internet, some of us may be addicted to gossip, some people may be addicted to, you know, just use a lot of time to make cash. So everyone has their own addiction. But addiction should be to study Shastra in the context of the purpose of life. Addiction should be to study Shastra, to hear Krishna Katha, to try to remember Krishna, to serve Krishna, so on and so forth. So the addiction can be transferred. But now what's the process of that? It is step by step process. Like the AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, it's an 8-step process, I think. 10 step, what? 5-step process, yeah. Some steps are there, so gradually you break down that addiction. So this Vedic system of Varna Ashram is the same to get you break away from your addiction. To purify, the first line of Prabhupada's purport is to become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. Powerful statement. So, purification means to become free, purified from envy, which leads to addiction, leads to attachment, which leads to addiction, which leads to misery and suffering in this world. So, step by step process, we have to give up the attachment. Therefore, the role models of Yudhishthira is very important because he is showing, even if you have an opulent kingdom, you can put this behind and engage in the service of the Lord fully. Now in this age of Kali you don't have to go to the forest, but you can visit the holy place, different holy places, you know, in Vanaprastha Ashram, hear from the sages, learn, absorb your consciousness, chant extra, prepare yourself, and then after some time, if you can, preach if you feel the urge to serve Prabhupada in that way. You can, husband and wife can preach. Very few people will take sannyas. So this is how we see the future of devotees. So preaching, if one is preaching already, that is actually very elevated level of consciousness. Even some devotees in the Grihastha Ashram already preaching, which is very elevated level of consciousness. So that needs to be understood in the Deshakala Patra. We are living in this particular time where we have to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Therefore, real Vanaprastha, real sannyas, doesn't mean running away in the forest, but means preaching to the people. That's why Prabhupada left Vrindavan, to give us Vrindavan. In one sense, left Vrindavan because he never leaves Vrindavan. He always is in Vrindavan. His heart be in Vrindavan. So, in that way, we have to understand that in this Deshakala Patra, we have to perform sadhana, very nicely, very good sadhana, and also we have to engage in the preaching activity, outreach, reaching out to others, trying to help them to come on board, understand their purpose, give up the camp of the confused people who are just thinking the goal of life is merry making. And this is the paradox is that when you give up the camp of merry makers, you become merry. This is the interesting thing, you know. The merry maker camp, they are so much trying to become happy, and the more they try to become happy, the more miserable they become. But the more we try to make Krishna happy, not ourselves, the more happy we become. This is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. This is the mystery of life. And that must be taught and introduced to everyone in this world, according to Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Antikori Vaishnava Vrinda ki.
Jai.
Om Premanande. Any comments or questions? Yes. Jagannath Prabhu.
What do you mention that we have but on a practical level, at least for myself, if I see, I don't see that reaching that stage in this lifetime, in many lifetimes. So, the tendency to be envious is still there in the heart, the tendency to blaspheme devotees is still there. At best, an endeavor is being made to follow the four generative principles that can't succeed now. Now, in lectures, we often hear that Srila Prabhupada said that you just chant, follow four liberative principles and chant 16 rounds, and then I'll take you to Godhead. So, how do we reconcile this with the philosophy that where Prabhupada also writes that you have to be completely free of
materialism? So, it looks like Prabhupada is contradicting himself. He's saying you have to be completely pure to become an associate of Krishna, but then he's saying, no, you can be halfway pure or whatever, and I'll take care. So how do we reconcile this? It is like this. Prabhupada is very empowered, and he can make up for our lacking. Just like Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was giving this example. Just like some businessman, he may have small amount of money, but he wants to venture into some big business. So he can't do it unless he teams up with a businessman who has the power to do that, and he kind of teams up with him and he invests his money with a bigger sum of money which the other businessman have, and two of them actually embark in this business. Maybe the person who doesn't have the money has the idea, the vision, and the other one has the money but doesn't have the vision, so they come up together. You know, this is a material example. So in that way they come together, and the person who didn't have the sufficient amount of money, because he teamed up with him, he made it. You understand? So in the same way, we may not be perfect, although we should be striving for that. We should never think, oh, just I'm relaxed, Prabhupada will save me, you know. I'll just chill out. That is a wrong consciousness. Prabhupada will save us or take us to Vrindavan, to the spiritual world, only when he sees that we're very eager. But we can't achieve because of the level of consciousness, the addictions, the attachments that may be there, the blockages that are on our path. So if you see that this person is really unqualified, they are struggling, but they can't get it, then, but because we want to team up with Prabhupada, then Prabhupada makes it up. You understand? That's how it works. So Prabhupada said once, 70% pure, and I'll take you. Not less than that. First he said 90, one time there was one lecture, he said, if you're 90% pure, you'll go back to Godhead. Then the devotees will be, oh, Prabhupada, this is too much, you just can't do it. You know? Okay, 80%, they were still miserable, you know, like that. So Prabhupada said, alright, 70%, and then everyone, Jai Prabhupada! So we have to strive for the 70%, you know. 70% means the silver medal, you know.
not going for the gold but for the silver. But of course, try for the gold. If you can't get it, at least you'll get silver. If you don't try for the gold, you won't get the silver. Because in order for you to get the silver, you have to try for the gold. That means you have to put the extra effort, you know. Otherwise, if you, oh, I'll go for the silver, then you become 15th or 18th out of 10 people. You're not going to get it. So, that's why we have to be very eager, utkanta, to achieve the goal. And at the same time, we have to team up with Prabhupada.
So, what happens to the 30%? Who is still go with the 30% to the swivel of the path?
30%? I don't know. Every situation may be individual. Prabhupada may make individual decisions on each person. I cannot think the way he thinks, so that I can say a blanket statement. But Prabhupada was, I don't know, with George Harrison or something like that. Prabhupada said before, you know, he departed from this world. Prabhupada said that he will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. He kind of predicted for George Harrison. And he didn't even initiate him, and although he had some habits, you know, to the end of his life, I think he was struggling with smoking, again, a smoking issue. You know. Still, he was a devotee. He sponsored the printing of Krishna book, he gave Bhaktivedanta Mala. So Prabhupada said he'll go back to Godhead. He'll probably make a special arrangement with this person, because he really pleased Prabhupada. This is the secret to please the Guru, you know. You may be fallen, but try to please the spiritual master, and through him he will offer your service to Krishna, and you'll say, look, my dear Lord, this rascal tried his best. So please kindly accept him. I am taking responsibility for him. So Krishna will say, alright, because you are asking me confidential. Everything is through invitation. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj said, you cannot go into Vrindavan unless you are invited by one of the residents of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada is one of the residents of Vrindavan. So how lucky we are, you know. And, you know, so through serving his disciples sincerely, who follow his mission, then we become eligible for Prabhupada's mercy like that. So we don't know, we can't say, but at the same time we should not say, oh yeah, Prabhupada is merciful, I'll just be lazy and I'll just do the bare minimum. To do the bare minimum, you know what it means. You're not too eager. You're not interested. So if you're not interested, you're most probably not going to go. Because if you're not interested, Krishna will not force you artificially. If you're 30% perhaps, and you're very, very eager, but you just can't do it, you know, maybe Prabhupada will say, you know, these guys, this is this case, you know, just catch him from the fallen neck and throw him inside the spiritual world. So, but we don't want to be cheaters, and we don't want to be lazy people who are just twisting the philosophy and trying to accommodate our own fallenness. You know, we don't want that. We have to be very eager. And if we fail, then we just say we have the hope that Krishna is the most merciful. Prabhupada is so merciful. Nityananda Prabhu is so merciful. Somehow I'll make it. And that gives the joy of the devotee. I am fallen, but Krishna is the most merciful. I'll make it in this lifetime. I'll just try my best. And that makes you joyful. You know, because of the mercy and your enthusiasm is real enthusiasm, then you achieve success. If you are serious, all of you will go back to God in this lifetime. No more coming. Just say, I want to go. That's it. Krishna, please facilitate this lifetime. Finish. I don't want to come back in this horrible place. Please, kindly, just make sure I'm not going to go anywhere and stay. Just tell Krishna like this. I guarantee you, if you ask me here, this will happen. This lifetime will go back to Godhead. Don't have to take sannyas. Don't have to become a guru with 10,000 disciples to go back to Godhead. You can be just a simple devotee who is sweeping floors or doing aartis, doing garlands, serving the temple, cooking. You can go back to Godhead. Just try to please Prabhupada and follow his instruction. Some of the ladies maybe have a question? Okay. Mataji, we give one chance to them and then we'll come back to you.
Just listening to your conversation now, because in the Poche Tanya actually gives us the highest place initially. Yeah. And so in a sense we're already there. But we do have to surrender, we do have to submit.
Yes.
None of us can excuse ourselves by saying we're going to have a taste, because that's given from where we start.
Exactly. Mataji is saying the taste is given to us from the very start. So we can't say, no, I don't have the taste. It's there. Only if you make offense or you ignore, then you can actually be blocked. Otherwise, the nectar is there. And you, just like the elephant falls into the ditch, or the deer is attracted by the sounds of the hunter, in the same way we're attracted by Krishna's flute. There is that taste, that enthusiasm is there. So if you don't make an offense, you know, you go back to the spiritual world. The materialists, they are becoming attracted to fall into the ditch because they have some taste. But we have that taste for Krishna. Yes?
What you are saying in some ways, Srila Prabhupada is not alone. The whole district of religion.
Exactly.
So, everybody will help us to reach that goal.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us something more? Govinda's Thakur?
Okay. Nice. Thank you. You're following all the calendar. Lochandas Thakur, I know very little, but I know he wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was known as Chaitanya Mangala before. And he is one of the saints in our tradition that associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because of that he recorded this pastimes of Mahaprabhu, particularly dealing with his childhood pastimes, and giving an insight into the childhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and giving some other descriptions how Mahaprabhu came into this world, and how Brahma understood how the mercy will be distributed in this age, and so on and so forth. It's recorded in Chaitanya Bhagavata. It's a beautiful book. Every devotee should read it. I can't just remember details, but we can actually look up on database something, or on the internet. There is always some write-ups on the acharyas, and we can refresh our consciousness. Yeah, I also have a calendar, but it wasn't mentioned here. You probably have the complete calendar. So usually I do check if I see it on my calendar and I prepare, but today I didn't see on my calendar anything. So what is the next one is on the 14th of February is Vishnu Priya's appearance or something like that. There is quite few actually on one day. So yeah, I can't say much about Lochan Das Thakur at the moment. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gauri Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Gaura Premanandi.
Krishna Prabhu ki.